som Fredrik får det i drömmen.
So this is a good turnout for exam time. Yeah. More than I expected. So I appreciate them. They said they're going to videotape it so they can show it to students. The taping could be shown to students. So.
Yeah. For engineers.
Excellent.
Closer to the IT.
Sure. Excuse me. Yes.
Sorry.
Where would you like? Hi. How you doing? One, two, three, four. That concludes my lecture.
Yeah, one, two, three, four.
Any questions? Sorry. Okay. Okay. Oh, now it's working. Yes. Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good morning. Okay, how's that? Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Sure.
I have a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
University this last fall in October. The dean, Torbjørn, Iver, and Bent at the international section, and I was visited you in Clark. Before that, we had did our homework to try to screen which universities in the US was of interest, and Clark popped up as one of the major universities working on sustainability. Just at the institution, and also having an MBA program on sustainability. And Will is the director on the MBA program at Clark, and he will today talk about the sustainability work at Clark in general and a special focus on the MBA.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Good morning. So we will keep this informal. So you please stop me. I have many topics to discuss. Is this okay? And so please stop me if you have questions. Should we turn the volume down? All right. Thank you. So, yes, please stop me with questions. So I'm going to describe the broader context of Clark University. Thank you. So I'm going to describe at an institutional level Clark's long-term commitment to sustainability. And the institution was founded in 1887, and the core areas of Clark are psychology and geography in terms of our, thank you very much, our core competencies. And the business school where I work is about 30 years old. So they have bachelor's programs. The Clark University has bachelor's programs and a variety of master's level programs and PhD programs in geography and psychology. And about 3,200 students, similar in size to Jovic. And in the School of Business, we have about 600 students. And the programs that we offer in our School of Business are three types: the MBA, the Master's in Business Administration, the Master's of Science in Accounting, and a Master's of Science in Finance. So I'll go through some level of detail on those and how we have integrated sustainability into the MBA program. So before I do that, I'd like to just give you the context from a very broad perspective related to our commitment as an institution to reduce our carbon footprint. And in fact, I'll go through some detail how that is integrated with a commitment across the United States for the all the universities and colleges within the United States. There's a subset of the colleges and universities in the United States who have committed to carbon neutrality, and I'll go into some detail on that. Then I have been asked to talk about some of the research we're doing, and there's obvious we're a research institute primarily, and so I'll just cover a couple of areas of where research is specifically focused on environmental issues and sustainability from the institutional level, and then I'll describe actually, I've sent a detailed list if anyone's interested in terms of the research being conducted, published, conducted, and ongoing in our Graduate School of Management where I work. There will be a discussion here related to education. How many are, if I could have a show of hands, how many are familiar with PRIME, Principles of Responsible Management Education? Very good. Okay, very good, Tom. You get an A. but I'll describe that. So this is a UN initiative focused on integrating responsible principles into education, for management education, primarily three areas: the sustainability, corporate social responsibility, and ethics. And I'll describe that briefly. And then I'll also discuss educational programs, not only in the Graduate School of Management, but also in one of our partner departments. So we have partnered with this department to build our MBA in sustainability, which has been, this organization has been in place for several decades. And in fact, that was what attracted me to Clark back 6 years ago. So very strong in environmental science and policy. At a institutional level, our theme is challenge convention, change our world. It's challenge convention, change our world. And so that's where the cultural basis is driving many initiatives to help improve the worldwide situation, especially as it relates to climate change and sustainability. So this is a strong partnership between these two departments at Clark. I'll go in a little more detail about this organization, which is, I just mentioned, focused more on more broadly on change and improvement of health, community, society in general, not only locally but also in worldwide, at a worldwide level. And this may be of particular importance. I mentioned geography is one of the key core competencies of Clark. The Global Information System, or GIS, is, I really believe, world-class, in terms of our capability, and I will go into some of the work we're doing, just a few slides, as it relates to the impact on sustainability from a GIS perspective, and then give you a greater feel in terms of especially our culture and the level of engagement by our students as it relates to sustainability, and one specific innovation which may be of interest relates to, we call it the Student Sustainability Fund, where students submit proposals for sustainability initiatives, and they can be funded up to $20,000 to implement specific sustainability programs on campus. So this is entrepreneurial in nature, but clearly focused on sustainability and improving sustainability throughout the campus. Talk a bit about LEED, which stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, which is part of our overall commitment to sustainability in terms of a couple of new buildings on campus, and any new buildings that we construct on campus are LEED certified at some level. And I'll talk about that a bit. And then in terms of the physical plant, we'll just show you how we, in terms of our overall commitment to carbon neutrality, how we've improved operations efficiency to reduce our carbon emissions. And then just a couple of important, what I call strategic partnerships related to National Grid, which is our power company in New England anyway. As you know, it's a UK-based firm, but it's a very important power company, utility company in the United States. And Clark has a partnership with National Grid related to what we call smart energy, and I'll go into that in a little detail. And one manifestation of that partnership is a entity which is new now, about a year old, called Sustainability Hub, which is within about 5 minutes walk from the campus, and there we are demonstrating some very innovative technologies, and we have some Clark students working there in the capacity of educating customers and the position's actually called Smart Energy Ambassador. So as part of our partnership with National Grid, we bring in about 5 or 6 students every year, and they work in the Sustainability Hub and help, as I said, customers and students and anyone who can either comes into the hub to learn more about sustainability, or the students actually go out into the local community to provide presentations at high schools, et cetera. So I'll talk more about that. And then Sodexo is our catering company, a French-based global company, and very strong in terms of leadership related to sustainability. So any questions before I jump into the detail? Okay. So first of all, let's talk about our commitment to carbon neutrality. So basically, within the United States, if you this may be true in Europe and maybe Norway specifically, but 40% of all energy consumed and carbon emissions produced are generated by buildings. Now, it's maybe not a surprise. So if you take that same model and you look at college and university campuses across the United States, the impact on the climate is huge. So what's happened now, it must be 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, is the presidents, a core group of presidents of colleges and universities got together and said, we need to establish a relationship, partnership, a commitment to carbon neutrality. So the organization's called the American College and Universities President's Climate Commitment. And so there are 684 colleges and universities in the United States that have signed this commitment to carbon neutrality. And so the requirement is within 2 years after you sign the commitment to carbon neutrality by the president of the university, in this case, you are to develop a climate action plan. And the climate action plan is to develop a plan to indicate, to outline how you're going to achieve carbon neutrality by a certain date. And some universities have a carbon neutrality date of 2050, for example. Some have a carbon neutrality date of 2025. Clark has committed to a carbon neutrality by 2050. excuse me, by 2030. And so what that means is there's a variety of initiatives that have come together to achieve that goal. And just to give you an idea about Clark's carbon footprint, when I was involved in the development of this plan 5 years ago, and so a metric ton, how does anyone have an idea about how large a metric ton, one metric ton of carbon dioxide is? It's about as big as this room. One metric ton of carbon dioxide. If you cut these the seats out and just had a rectangular room or a cubicle room, one metric ton of carbon dioxide is about as big as this room. Clark's carbon footprint in 2009 was 18,000 metric tons. And we're a small university. Does anyone know what UVic's carbon footprint is? All right, it could be the same, could be similar. You know, we're fairly, Clark 5 years ago was fairly energy efficient. We had a cogeneration plant. We have a lot of students who care about the environment. As I said, a long history of commitment to sustainability, but still, we were producing 18,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide. So the goal by 2030 is to produce zero carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Yes, please. Good question. Do we have forests around? I'm going to repeat the question because so we can pick it up. No. No, we're in the second largest city in Massachusetts. So we're in Worcester, Massachusetts, about an hour from Boston. So there are some trees. It is a beautiful countryside, but not anything like the beautiful forests here in Norway. So that, but that's part of the answer, is to buy carbon offsets. So to buy through purchasing carbon offsets, you can pay for reforestation in other parts of the United States or other parts of the world, or improvement of ecosystems, et cetera. So it's a combination of energy efficiency initiatives, including production of power. I'll show you the cogeneration plant, other efficiency initiatives related to lighting, improvement of distribution of steam and power throughout the campus through some very old steam distribution systems. We also have satellite boilers on different parts of the campus, and those are being replaced. There's also initiatives related to students' education. You know, so we can do, I mentioned these LEED certified buildings. LEED certified buildings for purposes of our discussion today are essentially high performance buildings. So they leverage a great deal of natural lighting. They're very efficient in terms of heating, cooling, water usage, heavy emphasis on waste management, recycling, and paper reduction, and more emphasis on, for example, video conferencing, as opposed to faculty like myself traveling to Oslo. You know, this is not good for the planet. You know, hopefully I'm helping you a bit with this information, but I'm not helping the planet by taking a plane right over from Boston. So we're trying to reduce faculty travel to some extent, more use of video conferencing, et cetera. So we're trying to do more with electronics and you know, definitely reduce more public transportation, which is somewhat challenging in our area. But there's the plan is publicly available if anyone's interested in looking at the our carbon action, our climate action plan. And I should give you a little background on the plan. So when I joined Clark, as I said, about 5 years ago, I had just come from another university called Bentley University, where I was part-time, and I was involved in the development of their climate action plan. And so I was going to start teaching in September 2009, and so I asked the dean, have you signed the president's climate commitment? And they go, yes, right. And I said, well, I'm interested in seeing the plan, the climate action plan. And he said, well, it hasn't been written yet. Oh, okay, interesting. So I said, who's going to write it? And remember, now this is July of 2009. I haven't even started yet, so I'm going to start in September. So he said, well, the provost is on the hook. The president signed it, but the provost has to develop a plan. I said, oh, well, okay if I meet the provost? Okay. So I met with the provost, and I said, he doesn't know me at all, right? And he goes, I said, can I help you put together the plan? And this was, he goes, sure. So anyway, basically what I did was I was a project manager for the plan, and the provost, and we have a sustainability coordinator on campus. So sustainability coordinator and the chief financial officer and the provost wrote the plan, approved by the Board of Trustees, and now the provost has become the president. So the president of the Clark University is totally committed with support of the Board of Trustees to this goal. So that's, just give you a feel of our, that's a very broad and aggressive goal. But that was a very good question about forests. Any other questions on the Climate Action Plan? Okay. Sure, please. Please.
Now you have 5 years into the plan, right?
Yes.
How do you evaluate it? How far have you gone?
Very good question. The question is, how much progress have we made since 2009 in terms of our goal? We've continued, the challenge here is that, and this is with any organizations, especially corporations or universities which are growing, such as Jovic. So Clark continues to grow with our programs and our student enrollment at probably a rate of about 10% a year. But even though we've grown at 10% a year roughly for 5 years, we've reduced our current carbon footprint to about 15,000 metric tons from 18,000 metric tons. So that's the challenge in terms of continuing to grow, such as Jovic's growing, and also achieve a goal, an aggressive goal of climate, a carbon neutrality eventually. So that's really the work. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? All right, let's get into research. So remember, we are a research institution, and Marsh Institute is the dominant research organization within Clark University, and they coordinate a significant amount of research from faculty across all departments in the university. And I just wanted to give you some area of focus for Marsh Institute, and this is relates the to earth science, to socio-ecological and sustainability science, human development, risk related to these areas, and we bring all kind of a variety of experts from around the world into Clark as guest speakers. And it so happens that the director of the institute is a professor of environmental of economics, but his area of focus is environmental economics. So he brings this has a significant influence on the focus of the Marsh Institute. And if anyone's interested, we could definitely get a copy of this entire presentation to all of you. In fact, it might be a good idea. Would you mind if we sent a piece of paper around, please, with people could put their email address, and if you'd like a copy of this, we can have one sent to you. Is that okay, Tom?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're interested in this particular report from the Marsh Institute, it's available at this website. All right, so I wanted to drill down into our organization, and so I was asked to provide some specifics related to the Graduate School of Management and what our faculty is doing in areas of research. And so if I could just, I'm just going to, this is a detailed report, and I'm not going to go through it all. Oops. Thank you. So thank you very much. So this will just give you, again, we won't go through all this, but this will give you an idea of some of the topics. This is recently accepted or published research. More specifically, let's see, some of these areas are interesting. Related to sustainability investments. This one is actually related to sustainability consulting as it relates to what we call deep learning. That is through very comprehensive experiential learning. You will see other topics related to sustainability or sustainable consumption. just went the work on sustainable consumption and supply chain, more, let's see, more related to sustainable supply chain work. And I just wanted to give you a feel for this. We could also send you a copy of this if you're interested, of the research being conducted at Clark. Some other general research related to sustainability. Let's see, environmental regulation. So you get the idea. So there's what this report does. It talks about recently published research, and then this is submitted research, and then in progress. Like, this is an idea. The reason I'm showing you this is there may be some opportunities for collaboration between you in your work and some of the work we're doing already. So definitely one of the reasons that I'm here is to broaden our partnership and deepen it in terms of where we can work together. So this is a long list, but I just wanted to give you a quick view of it. So any questions on research? All right, yes, please. It's a combination of various research centers, grants from sustainability organizations, some corporations, and some internal. So very high energy, enormous focus, very important to become tenured and to produce quality progress towards new research and new knowledge. So a lot of time is spent on grant writing for large research projects, and we do a lot of collaboration with other, as I mentioned, other research centers and worldwide, right? For example, this one of my colleagues named Professor Joe Sarkis, he collaborates extensively with experts, you know, from Europe, from Latin America, from China. So a lot of cross-cultural and cross-geographic research is developed, ongoing. So that answer your question? All right. Thank you. Yes, so anyway, we can distribute that also. Okay, I think. Good. So let's talk about education. So I mentioned PRIME. So as we are a signatory of the President's Climate Commitment, we are a signatory of PRIME. And I recommend, actually, that Juvik consider becoming a signatory of PRIME. And so I'll let you read that, and then I'll make a few comments. So there's several initiatives being driven by the United States, by the United Nations, and I'm familiar with three specifically that are relevant to the area that I'm interested in. One is PRIME, so Principles of Responsible Management Education. Secondly is the one called PRI, Principles of Responsible Investing. So this is all about working with institutional investors and investment firms to drive more socially responsible investing. So if you look at the website for PRI, PRI.org, Principles of Responsible Investing, you will see several hundred institutional investment companies that have become signatories of PRI for the United Nations. Similarly, for the United Nations Global Compact, where if you're running a corporation, you can at the same time become a signatory or member of the UN Global Compact and make certain commitments related to business practices. There's 10 principles that are driven and articulated by and driven by the UN Global Compact. And the reason I think that's particularly important, my background is business and consulting. And so I've only been teaching now for about 12 years. But what was interesting to me and impressive to me is if you look at these principles, we won't look at them today, but what the UN has done is driven home the point that the businesses in particular can be especially influential in terms of helping us deal with climate change. Why is that? Why would you say, that's my belief anyway, it's a bias, but why do you think I would believe that businesses would become or be particularly well positioned to affect change related to our environment? All right, so one is just simply financial resources. Two is a technology in terms of the ability to leverage advanced technologies. Three is many companies have global reach. And four, in my biased opinion, is has some of the best leaders in terms of some of the effective leaders who can affect change. Some of the courses I teach is that the best leaders are fundamentally change agents. And so if you believe that then those four things, then those four factors together can be very powerful in terms of affecting change. In this case, under the UN Global Compact, you can affect global change and to help improve the environment. So that's really what these 10 principles drive. Clark, the Graduate School of Management, became a signatory of PRIME 2 years ago. And what does that mean? That means, as I mentioned earlier, that we in the Graduate School of Management, so this is not a Clark University commitment, this is a commitment by the Graduate School of Management because our particular focus and charter is management education. So that's our responsibility. So that's why the Graduate School of Management became the signatory of PRIME. And so PRIME essentially is looking for us to, and our commitment is to integrate three specific areas into our curriculum, research and student activities. So they are sustainability, corporate social responsibility, and ethics. Now, so what we've done the first couple of years as a signatory, what we were required to do is produce a report. And you could definitely look, this report was published last June. So this is our second report. So you're free to look at that report. It's quite comprehensive, and it does not only describe what we are doing in the Graduate School of Management, but what we're doing across the university. Excuse me. And so I was on the PRIME committee in the Graduate School of Management, and then I was asked to be on the PRIME committee for the third year, and I said I will. But I do not want to do this report again. We've done the report. So how about doing some work? How about affecting some change? That was my mistake, because the dean made me the chairman of the committee. So my challenge became integrating those areas into the curriculum, research, and student activities. And it actually was the good news is that we were doing a lot more than I thought we were across the faculty. You see the research. The research has been ongoing for years, right? So I really could not influence, as a committee chairman, I in reality could not directly influence the research that faculty was doing. So I focused on two other areas, which we as a committee focused on two areas, which is one integrated into the curriculum and also student activities. And so the curriculum, what we've done there is we worked as a team to work with all the faculty, and the first step was to get a baseline of what today they were doing in their coursework related to those three areas, right? So you can imagine a matrix that says marketing 101, what are you doing as it relates to sustainability or ethics or corporate social responsibility. And from there, we came back to the faculty and said, the goal, actually I worked with another committee, and they said the goal for integration to quantify it would be for 14 three-hour classes of 42 hours, we would have an hour and a half per semester related to one or more of those topics. So it could be a combination of sustainability and ethics or corporate social responsibility, or it could just be ethics, whatever is a natural change. And some professors, as I said, were already doing that, and some were doing nothing, or at least thought they were doing nothing. And so the MBA professors were fairly accommodating in terms of increasing their focus in one or more of those areas. The challenges were more related to the finance professors and the accounting professors, because they felt, many of them felt, this has nothing to do with what I'm teaching, and that's really MBA stuff. And I go, no, you don't understand. I said, well, so if one of your students, I'm having a conversation with an accounting professor, I said, or a finance professor, if one of your students is going to pass the certified professional CPA exam, certified professional accountant, that student is going to be tested on ethics. So if you want your students to become certified public accountants, then you need to, it would be appropriate to integrate some content related to ethics in your course. Does that make sense? And I did that actually with an accounting student who was actually coming with me to meet with the professor. So that most of the professors were accepting of that. Similarly, with finance professors, if you're becoming a chartered financial analyst, chartered financial analyst, similarly, you need to understand something related to ethics, and also have some knowledge of socially responsible investing. So my role, to some extent, was to help educate my fellow faculty members in terms of what the students needed to achieve their professional status. And for the most part, the first year, this is only the first year we've been working on this, have been fairly successful. And to help the faculty, what we did is we went and developed, researched a variety of cases related to their specific areas of study. For example, 5 cases around either ethics or social responsibility in financial areas. And we also looked at a variety of a variety of videos, short videos, 3 to 5 minute videos on related topics, also other papers. And there, in fact, this organization, PRIME, produces a very helpful document which I'll make available. It basically talks about integrating PRIME into your organization. So that was very helpful too, in terms of some best practices. So that's a very important area for Clark as it relates to management education. So I'm going to stop there a second. Any questions on that? All right. So again, if you'd like to see the report produced last June, you are definitely invited to go to that website. And I did produce an internal report. Our committee produced an internal report in May for the dean. So we're going to enhance that next year and submit it to the United Nations. In terms of specific areas of focus related to sustainability, this graphic shows a pretty good picture of how we approach it. So my background, as I said, I'm not an academic, I'm a practitioner. My approach to teaching is heavily influenced by experiential learning. So I believe strongly that you learn by doing. And so research is vitally important, but if the research can be applied to a particular real problem, the more effective it is in terms of students really learning. So that's my experience. And so we use a variety of cases. We definitely focus on experiential learning. We hope to enlighten future managers. And so this concentration in the MBA, we have two that I'm responsible for, as Tom mentioned. One is the MBA sustainability concentration. The other one is MBA social change concentration. So we bring in a variety of guest speakers, and it clearly depends on what corporation they're from or what organization they're working for in terms of how they define sustainability. And the more common definition essentially is that we live or operate in a responsible manner such that our future generations can live or operate and enjoy the planet as we are today. In other words, leave the planet better than when we found it. Right? So that's from the United Nations Brundtland Commission, 1987, but that's my interpretation of it. You know, so that definition applies at a personal level and also at an organizational level in terms of leaving the planet better than when we found it so that future generations can benefit from it. So we bring in a couple of courses I teach. The model that I use is a simple textbook that's very practical, about five cases in a project where they will apply what they've learned either to helping a real client or another type of plan. Specifically, in sustainability consulting, one of the courses I teach, they will work with a real client. The student team, three or four students, will work with a real client and develop what's called a sustainability action plan. The emphasis on the word action. because I say, again, you're going to do research to develop this plan, but it's got to be practical, implementable, and measurable in terms of the recommendations that you make for your client. And the client has to be totally engaged in the development of their plan. Students, I've taught that course about 20 times now to about 400 students. And the other component, which is equally important, is bringing in experts from industry. For example, I would typically bring in chief sustainability officers or vice presidents of corporate social responsibility or sustainability consultants or energy managers, depending on the course. So that's essentially the model we use. And what we've done, when I get into the electives, what we've done to staff the elective is we definitely have worked with the current graduate school of management faculty, MBA faculty, to teach some of these courses with some success. But for the most part, what I've done is brought in colleagues, fellow practitioners, to teach some of these courses. So, for example, couple of business partners that I have, I brought in. Enroll them in terms of having them teach the courses. So the courses around sustainability that we teach, I call the courses sustainability management, are for the most part taught by practitioners, either full-time faculty or part-time. And so we definitely, and I spend a lot of time for example, this semester I am teaching a course which I developed called energy management, and it's called subline is energy management for managers, not engineers. Okay, because a lot of people think to be an energy manager you need to be an engineer, and I said no. You know, I can show you data to prove that there are MBA degree students, MBA graduates who are working in the energy management field. So what I did, for example, I'm very much conscious of helping our MBA students get jobs. And so when I send out the syllabus, I send out an article about you can be an energy manager. Right? So I'm trying to orient. This is not just a course you're going to take to get a grade. This has very practical value in terms of your career. So there's a great deal of focus around both this concentration and the social change concentration related to helping them actually guide and take steps to achieving career goals. So. Any questions so far? I'm going to get into some specifics. All right. So this, when these good folks came over to Clark back in the fall, this particular topic was of interest in terms of looking at the MBA concentration. So for that presentation, for that meeting, went through a little history of the MBA concentration and the Graduate School of Management program for sustainability. So what was interesting is the area of sustainability in the United States back in the mid-90s was fairly unknown. If you looked in the mid-90s for any publications or even textbooks on sustainability published in the United States in the mid-90s, you would find nothing. Amazing. Most of them, the books that I found, and publications were from UK, from Germany, from Canada, Australia. And so this gentleman, I was not there in 1996, but this gentleman I mentioned before, Joseph Sarkis, he's an expert on green supply chain management. If you just Google Joe Sarkis, you'll see his publications. Unbelievable. So Joe Sarkis, a professor of operations management and sustainability in 1996, created this first green course. It's called Greening the Corporation. And that was the only course that we had for some time up until 2007. And so what occurred in 2007 is we partnered with this other organization I mentioned. It's called International Development Community and Environment. And from there, this concentration on social change was created. So and we also created at that point two of these dual degree programs, where this is a 3-year commitment full time, and students can earn an MBA in and an MS in environmental science and policy, or an MBA MA in community development and planning. So these particular components come from this department in Clark. So in with a lot of help from the faculty and a couple of committees in 2008-2010, we conducted research around developing our own green MBA to build on what was done in 1996. The partnership we had with this organization, as I said, with very strong competence in these areas. And so we looked at all the MBA, green MBA programs around the United States and as much as possible around the world. And so we submitted a proposal at that point with 9 specific electives for the new SM, standing for sustainability management courses. So 9 new sustainability management courses. And then we offered, what we did was we did not announce the MBA in sustainability immediately. What we simply did was make these electives available to, if you will, test the market. So we put these electives out for our students to see what the response would be. Good marketing practice, right? And there was substantial enrollment. So we had a business case to say we should go forward with this MBA in sustainability. This is similar to some work, a lot of the work I had done in my professional career. So this model was pretty effective. We were lucky that I had the support. And so then we proposed, based on this result, if you will, sort of the ultimate market research is to have customers buying your products, right? So these were students, our customers buying our products. And so we proposed that in December 2011. And oh yeah, this is important. We also, as part of the proposal, not only would we offer this concentration in sustainability, but we would also engage external executives to mentor any students who did sign up for these electives or this concentration. So I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. So this was an integral part of the proposal. So you could not only be a concentrator in sustainability, but you could also have a mentorship relationship with a vice president of sustainability, if you'd like. So we made that part of the proposal. And then we launched it about a little over 2 years ago. And so this was amazing to me. With this last year, we were ranked as the number 17 worldwide in terms of the top 30 green MBA programs. So that was exciting for us. More importantly, the students continue to enroll, and a high level of excellent student evaluations related to the quality of the programs. And so the portfolio, if you were to a Clark student and you were, I'll show you the courses in a moment. If you were a Clark student and you were to choose this concentration, you would take a combination, you would be able to choose electives from either the Environmental Science Department or Sustainability Management, and also Entrepreneurship. So, and let's see, so the what we did, if you think about sustainability in a corporation, there's at least three levels of integration, the way I like to describe it. One is at a strategy level. So you're integrating, fundamentally integrating sustainability into the company's business strategy, goals, performance metrics, et cetera, bake it into the corporate strategy and performance goals. Next is operations. How do you actually integrate it into day-to-day operations? And of course, there's some very good, excellent standards related to this part, which I'll talk about also. And so basically strategy, operations, and culture. The more challenging, most challenging of the three is the culture. How do you get us to change? That's what leaders do, right? How do you get yourself and your organization to change? So the cultural aspect of integrating sustainability into a firm is very challenging, and so that. I'll show you the courses that we've identified to address that. What's also interesting, I know how important innovation is here in Norway, and there's several publications from Harvard, especially Harvard Business Review, as well as MIT Sloan, in conjunction with the Boston Consulting Group, that have identified significant opportunities in terms of how sustainability drives innovation. Sustainability is a key driver of innovation, based on these experts. And in some cases, if anyone is interested in any of these articles, I'd be glad to show you them. For example, MIT Sloan, in conjunction with Boston Consulting Group, has for the past 5 years been, yes, do you have a question? For the past 5 years, surveying 3,000 companies, from large global companies to small, medium-sized businesses around the world. And they've published three or four articles related to that. The more recent one is called Innovation the Bottom Line. Innovation the Bottom Line, and what they describe there are the leaders who have actually adapted sustainability are not only driving innovative products and services, but in some cases fundamentally changing their business models in terms of the opportunities that they see related to sustainability. So again, if anyone's interested in any of those articles, be glad to send them along. Yes, please.
Did you get more or less students after you integrated these sustainability courses?
Thank you for the question. What's happened is about the same. And it's a little, the challenge in the United States is that overall the MBA enrollment is down. So if you talk about new students coming in to the MBA program, it's down nationally. So we're receiving fewer than I expected MBA students in sustainability. But what's also happening at the same time is some students who were concentrating in marketing or global business, some are shifting their concentration. So if you're an MBA student for 2 or 3 years, you could change your concentration. So it's about average number of sustainability concentrators today is about 20. And in terms of social change, it's about 23. So it's stable, but I expected it to be much larger. Yes?
And how easy is it for them to get a job after they finish their
studies? It depends. Well, the economy, again, several factors. It depends on the industry. It depends on the student. And some have done extremely well working for companies such as organizations such as the Environmental Protection Agency, the Environmental Defense Fund, Mass Energy. Some have gone into sustainability consulting for one company, Ernst Young, as a climate change and sustainability consultant. So there are some success stories. I give lectures on green jobs regularly, right? So biggest area of growth that I see related to sustainability, as I mentioned earlier, is energy management. Also, sustainability reporting. So sustainability reporting is the one of the fastest growing areas within sustainability because of the pressure on firms, especially public corporations, to produce sustainability reports. So that's a very good entry-level job for with company students with strong analytical skills and able to collect data and, you know, bring the data together and produce a quality report. So there's a what's also happening within organizations, the typical chief sustainability, I'm talking about corporations now, the typical chief sustainability officer or executive or vice president of sustainability will have a very small staff, maybe two or three people. And they have a distributed, quote, distributed organization, so they would have a contact, a dotted line, if you will, to someone in finance, to a person in marketing, someone in manufacturing operations. So they would not have a broad, a large staff at all, but they would have influence through these various departments. Also, they would have a strong, at the executive level, they'd have the executive and sustainability would have strong relationships with the departmental managers as well as the business unit executives and divisional executives. So there are some jobs which are, like I call them, sort of green jobs. So you can go into a marketing organization in a marketing communications firm where they're developing a green marketing practice. Actually, that's happening as well. So the job market in the United States, the economy in the United States is improving. Jobs, it's much better than it was a year ago, to answer your question. The outstanding students get jobs. The average students, some of the average students are still struggling. Best answer, yes. Yes. Yeah, well, the Environmental Protection Agency is a federal agency. What's happening in the United States in cities is you have in Boston and Worcester, where we are, you have in the city of Boston, you have a chief sustainability officer. In Worcester, which is pretty good, maybe I'm going to say population of a million. I really don't know how big it is, but it's the second largest city in Massachusetts. They have a position called the Conservation and Energy Efficiency Manager for the city of Worcester. And I know him, his name is John O'Dell, and so he's been in that job. He had been in that job for a couple of years, and I brought him in several times as a guest speaker because Worcester and the Massachusetts state is quite green in terms of, you know, initiatives, incentives, programs around solar energy, LEED buildings, etc. And so what I've seen from bringing this gentleman in from Worcester is that the model that's happening in the city of Worcester is going to be replicated in other cities around the United States. So I tell my students that because I believe it, that there will be jobs in state and local government as well as federal. Federal, as I said, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy, there will be jobs there. So, yes, that's reality. That's happening today. Yes?
Well, it was so fascinating to see your description about the increment development from parts of the back in 1997 and then
yes.
to the full-fledged MBA. Very, very interesting to understand and answer. But my question is about Europe, actually. How would you consider exactly the market for this kind of jobs in Europe compared to US, if you have any familiarity with that part?
Yes, I don't know, but what I don't know about the European job market for sustainability or energy management graduates, but what I expect is that just from when I regularly describe the U.S. in general position relative to Europe, especially U.K., Germany, Norway, maybe. I don't know that much about Norway, to be honest, about your position around sustainability or energy efficiency. But the United States is several years behind the leaders in Europe as it relates to sustainability. An example of that would be in U.K., for you to publish your annual report, you are by law, if you're a UK-based firm, required to publish certain key performance indicators from sustainability in your public annual report. So that's an indicator to me. I mean, there's several indicators, but So who produces that report? Right? So I believe there's some analyst down there in every UK-based firm in the world that is producing that report. Right? So UK, in that terms of corporate social responsibility or sustainability reporting, is way ahead of the United States. If you look at Germany, 74% of energy used in Germany is from solar. Whoa. In the United States, it's 0.004%. Unbelievable. So there are just a few data points. So I got to believe that in solar energy jobs, installers, solar energy managers in Germany, you know, huge industry, UK, in terms of some of the energy efficiency programs, the European Union level, very advanced in terms of energy regulations and energy policy, energy standards. The energy management course I'm teaching this semester in the summer, one of the areas of study is the European Union policies and regulations, because we need to learn from them, from you. So I can't talk specifically about jobs, but I got to believe the job market related to sustainability in many of the European countries is far advanced compared to the United States. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's see. Let's take a look. Oh, yeah. So as I said, a lot of practitioners, we're leveraging a lot of research. So it's a combination of leveraging the research that we're doing in the Graduate School of Management as well as the practitioners. And then, as I said, we bring in regularly guest speakers. So I'm always looking for guest speakers. So I'll be in a social event. You know, how you doing? After about 10 minutes, I go, would you like to be a guest speaker? So my wife, my son's a teacher, and my wife is a retired teacher, and they go, you bring in all these guest speakers, Will, what do you do? So it's sort of a joke in my home. So I'll talk about the executive mentorship program in a minute. Yes, but let me look at these courses. So these on the left in green are the, if you were a sustainability concentrator, you would have a choice of all these electives. Excuse me. So as I said, energy management is key. This talks about integration sustainability into corporate strategy, operations. We have a marketing, sustainability marketing course. And by the way, all these syllabi will definitely be made available to Juvik. This is the one I talked about where the students work with teams, with real clients. This is a brand new course. And I think it's unique. The challenge we've had in this course is in my role of program managing this program is I have to recruit faculty. And so this has been the biggest challenge that I had. We tried to get a partner from PricewaterhouseCoopers. Now, PricewaterhouseCoopers and Ernst Young are particularly strong in areas of sustainability and corporate social responsibility. And so we had a partner who was very interested in teaching this course, and this was directly, consistently, completely related to his area of practice. So he was perfect for the job. The trouble is he had a job. He was traveling all the time. So we ended up just hiring a perfect person for this recently. And so she will be teaching this course starting in the fall, which I'm very excited about. And this is heavily influenced with not only basic accounting and socially responsible investing on the financial side, but also heavily influenced by reporting. So again, you can definitely see that one. This is one of my favorite courses, and this takes that reality of innovation driving sustainability and turns it into a course where the students come in with an idea either about a green product or energy efficient solution or a new process or service, and they can work individually or with a team and develop a business plan. So in that situation, I'm the venture capitalist. I turn to the V's, become a venture capitalist, and they have to sell me on their business plan. And this is not a particular, this is not unique to sustainability. This is a general management course, but it talks about how you as leaders, future leaders, affect change in an organization. And we go through a variety of models, and then we do focus on specific areas of application of some of these change models, such as sustainability. Another one would be mergers and acquisitions. Another one would be how do you implement change related to an IT project, supply chain management, and there's a section here on conflict management. I think most, my limited experience in industry, the result of my research is most managers, executives, do not like conflict and will do anything to avoid it. So this is a real weakness in senior leadership, myself included. I would not like to jump into conflict. I mean, why? You know, I mean, and so this is a serious problem. So we have a section on in this course on conflict management. What's interesting about this is when you dig down, drill down a bit into what's really going on with leaders, is and one part that became really key to me as I prepared to teach this course is emotional intelligence. What's emotional intelligence? Okay. Anybody? Okay, the best leaders. Yes, please. Yep, that's one part. Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. So, ability to control your own emotions. So I would first say, thank you for that answer. First say is you have to understand your own emotional state. So how am I feeling today? Right? If I'm not feeling too good, am I going to be angry? Or am I going to, now, should I? So I for some reason I'm not feeling too good, but I need to understand my own emotional state. And then if something's going to trigger me to react inappropriately, I should be able to control my own emotions. The other part of that is empathy, understanding others' emotional state. But you got to understand your own first. This is not just human resource. This is not just human resource or social work concepts. This is how you get things done. Because you have to relate to people, right? Surprise, surprise, right? So you have to be able to understand your own emotional state, control your emotions, relate to other people, understand their emotional state, and build relationships, genuine relationships. That, you know, it's all common sense, right? So effective people have high emotional intelligence. And so, like, again, this is Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-M-A-N, is the expert on emotional intelligence. And this is an integral part of this course. Because I'm trying to build leaders with emotional intelligence. You can have a very high IQ in, pick a topic, accounting, physics, business management, but if you're an idiot when it comes to emotional intelligence, you're going to have trouble leading people, right? So you need both. The best leaders are very bright. A lot of the leaders in my experience are average in terms of IQ, but very smart in terms of emotional intelligence. Some have both, but I'd say some of the best leaders are very particularly strong in emotional intelligence. So anyway, that's included in this course. And then we took this course that was developed in 1996 and made it an introductory course. So we broadened it, to your point, not just for corporations, but also for federal, for governmental agencies. So this is designed to focus on leadership related to corporations, governmental agencies, as well as nonprofits. So this, we advise any student with this concentration to take this first. So then they can take a variety of other courses if they choose to take some of these courses on the environmental science side. Okay. Questions? He has more questions. Yes.
All these are mandatory.
No, electives.
Yeah, you said electives. So what, do you have any prerequisites of a certain number of courses?
Yes, four. Four.
Four must be out of all of them?
Yes,
out of the grades one?
Out of all of them.
Out of all of them.
So they have to take, thank you for the question, they have to take, so what's the number of courses they have to take to achieve the elective? That's the question. You have to take the MBA core courses, about 12 courses, you know, accounting, finance, marketing, operations management, strategy, leadership, and four of these, any mix. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? All right, let's move it along here. So This little, I'm moving more quickly here. This relates, this is the other program that complements social sustainability, and this is related to social change. And let's see, so we're really talking about more